Well, before we turn to God's Word, we have the joy of welcoming into membership Abigail Gross. So I'm going to ask the elders if you'd come forward and then Abigail as well. Just want to read one verse and then we'll give thanks for Abby and God's grace in her life. But there's this one verse in Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1 which says, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them." And what we're so encouraged about, Abby, is God's grace in your life, and that from young you have committed your life to following Him, publicly testifying to her faith through the waters of baptism, and now committing to the church. And that's such an encouragement for us. We think of how young people are very easily lured away by the things of this world, and that's why the scripture tells us to remember one's Creator in the days of your youth. And God in His grace has done that in your life, and we thank God for you. Pray that you'll be an example to many other young people of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's just pray together. Father in heaven, we do want to thank you for your grace in Abby's life, for taking hold of her while she's young, working in her heart, drawing her to the Savior, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for her testimony of your love for her and of her sins forgiven, now of her willingness to commit to the church of the Lord Jesus here at Bethany. And we pray that you will strengthen her, that you will equip her with everything good for doing your will, and that she would continue to be a witness to many others of your grace and of your love. We thank you for, and help us as a church to rally behind her and to continue to pray for all our young people to walk with the Lord and to honor your name. So we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe please, if you just sign the register here. Just a certificate for you, so we do want to welcome you into membership. There you go, and if you can just shake Gary and Brad's hands. Thank you. Well, I do want to thank you for your prayers for me a couple of weeks ago, as you know, was in ICU. And I really believe that God appointed your prayers for that time as my life was in the balance. And I'm thankful to be able to continue ministering to you and to preach God's word this morning. Although I know that I think for the next month or two, I'll be slowly but surely building up my stamina. But thank you so much for your prayers. God is good, and it's a blessing to be able to bring God's word to you this morning. If you would turn with me to another psalm. So we're starting this year with a number of psalms, but this is a well-known psalm, Psalm 23. I'll read the whole psalm, but we're just going to be reflecting on the first verse this morning. This is a psalm of David, and he writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's just pray once more. Well, Lord our God, as we turn our attention to your word, we do pray that your Holy Spirit might take your word and apply it to our minds and hearts. We do love you. We want to follow you faithfully. We want to trust in you in the year that lies ahead. And we pray that your word would help us to do so. So we commit this message to you in prayer. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what will 2026 hold for us? What will we encounter as a people and as a church in the year ahead? I'm sure that most of us are hoping for a better year. That's why people say at the beginning of a new year, Happy New Year, because they really are hoping for better things. And it may be that some of us do experience good things in the year that lies ahead. There may be some exciting events planned. Maybe one or two young adults might be getting married, or maybe there's the start of a new career or job, or perhaps there's going to be that dreamed about holiday that you're going to be finally going on. Maybe it is that if you have a business, that it will do well. Maybe financially things might improve. But the reality is that every year will bring with it its fair share of trials and disappointments and setbacks. We may not like to think about it, but we do face many known and unknown dangers in each and every year. We are really like a ship that is on the ocean, and we find ourselves moving through shallow waters with dangerous reefs and rocks all about us. How will we navigate safely through these waters? We remember that we are living in a fallen, broken world. There are uncertain things that happen in life. We know about this even over the last number of years, plagues, and there's wars that spring up in different parts of the world. There's violent crime in our own country. There's accidents. There's tragedies. What about certain political decisions that can cause racial tension and international fallout, as we saw this past year in our own country? What about the economy, which may not perform as we would hope, with the resulting financial pressure and the cost of living increasing? And despite the fact that we might be growing by our economy growing by 1% or so, we know from our water and lights and other costs that things are going up. And then what about the real danger of being deceived by false teaching, which comes across with sugar-coated lies of a better life? And then there might be even moments when one's life is in real danger. Well, as you know, a few weeks ago, which was meant to be a simple procedure to dilate my bronchus, led to a life-threatening situation. My life really was in God's hands as my oxygen levels plummeted and I was placed on a ventilator. Well, one of the things that I remember while still conscious in ICU and fighting for breath is finding my strength in the Lord. As they were fitting this high concentration mask onto me while I was trying to gasp for breath, all I can remember at that time was reciting Psalm 23 over and over again, going back to the beginning and just keep on reciting it. And so in that frightening moment, I could find solace and comfort in this wonderful biblical truth that the Lord is my shepherd. And so I thought it fitting then that as we head into 2026, we reflect upon the psalm, but particularly verse 1. If the Lord then is your shepherd, you have nothing to be afraid of. You can be at peace and know true contentment no matter what the year holds. You see, if he has his hands on the helm of the ship of your life, he will safely navigate you through those rocky, shallow waters which threaten to shipwreck you. Alternatively, if you are one of those people who say with the poet Henley, I am master of my fate, I am captain of my soul, then you need to be very afraid. Ultimately, sooner or later, you will run aground and you will sink in the ocean of eternal despair and ruin. So how vitally important it is then that we can say with David the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This is one of the most loved and well known of all the psalms. It's often recited in times of danger, it's read at funerals, it's sung in worship services, and it provides much comfort for us in times of distress. And David the psalm writer certainly knew times of anxiety and stress. We can think of that perilous season in his life when he was on the run from Saul. He was being hunted high and low. Remember how he dodged that spear which was flung at him when Saul was full of rage and jealousy. Then he escaped arrest when he fled from his home. He was almost captured when Saul pursued him with his army. And yet David knew that the Lord was watching him and was keeping him. And so this psalm reflects God's love and care and protection of David. But more than that, this psalm reflects God's love for all of his people. So if you are a child of God, you can claim this psalm for yourself. It is God's word to you. He wants you to be assured of his gracious presence with you all the days of your life on earth. Now, I've preached the psalm before. I've worked through it verse by verse. I've covered it on other occasions, even at funerals. But I would like to just look at verse 1 this morning and highlight two main points from this text. The first is, the Lord is the shepherd of his people. David describes the Lord as his shepherd. Shepherd, as you would know, is a metaphor to describe God. It is a word picture that helps us understand something about the nature of God. Of course, we know that God is a spirit. He does not have a body like us. He is unseen. He is invisible. So God, who breathed out Scripture, who inspired Scripture, often uses metaphors to help us understand something about himself. And there are many metaphors describing the nature of God in Scripture. For example, we just can turn back a page or two to Psalm 18, and there David writes in verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. The rock speaks of stability and support and safety. We can picture a raging ocean beneath one, but you're standing on a rock and you're safe and secure. The metaphors of a fortress and a shield and a stronghold, these are military terms speaking of David's safety and protection, hiding in God from his enemies. We find other scriptures that speak of the eyes and the ears of the Lord. We know that God doesn't have literal eyes or ears, but it helps us in human language understand that God is a personal God who sees, who knows, who hears. Now, a very beautiful metaphor in describing God is that of a shepherd over his people. David, who had been a shepherd boy before he was drafted into Saul's army, he knew very well the role of a shepherd, the importance of that role in caring for sheep. Sheep are very much in need of a shepherd. They are a vulnerable animal. They cannot run fast. They do not have a tough skin like the rhino or sharp teeth like the lion to fight their enemies. They are easy prey to wild animals. And more than that, they're prone to wander. So left to themselves, they will not survive for very long. Sheep need a shepherd. And we are just like sheep. We are vulnerable in this fallen world. We have great enemies. Satan is described in Scripture as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Not a slumbering, sleeping, docile lion who's just doing nothing. He's on the prowl. He's on the lookout. He wants to devour you. He wants to destroy. He's cunning. He's devious. He's powerful. And he's capable of doing much harm. Jesus called him a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And so he wants to lead people into temptation, to sin. And he's been very successful with this. He's destroyed people's lives who've fallen foul of temptation. He's broken up marriages. He's destroyed young people's minds. He's led them into all kinds of vice and sinful pleasure that has ruined them. He has led many into false religion, which blinds them from seeing the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He's seeking to lead as many people as possible with him to the flames of hell. And he will not leave Christians alone. He knows who we are. He knows that we are God's precious children. He knows that we've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And he knows that he will bring great shame upon the gospel and the name of Jesus Christ if he can get a Christian to fall into sin. So he will work hard at leading Christians into the entanglement of sin and bringing dishonor to the name of Christ. So who will deliver us from this roaring lion? Who will rescue us from this subtle and powerful temptations that he will send our way? We need a shepherd. What about the trials and challenges in life that we face? Each year will bring with it its fair share of pressure and hardship in family, in work, in church life. At times we will be perplexed and even fearful. We may feel vulnerable. Do we not need the Lord to be our shepherd at such times, to guide us, to lead us through these difficult places? Yes, indeed. We need a shepherd. But what about another great enemy to our souls that we face? And what is that? Well, it is indwelling sin. This is a real fight. Sin is not easily defeated. It requires the grace of God and determination on our part to defeat it. You think of Paul, who cried in Romans chapter 7, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? The good I want to do, I find I don't do. The evil I do not want to do, I find myself doing, gravitating towards those things." He knew this battle against those sinful desires. It was a very real challenge to him each and every day. Have you not found it to be so? I think of the morning hour when I've committed the day to the Lord in prayer, and I've intended to redeem the time and to use it wisely and well for the glory of God. But time and again, as I reflect on the day, I've lamented time wasted on things that were unimportant. What about those sinful attitudes we can sometimes develop when we are upset? Each day we face a struggle against sinful desires which seek to trip us up. What an enemy sin is. It wages war against our soul, Peter tells us. Who will give us victory over sin? Who will deliver us from its power? Who will save us from its penalty and from eternal separation from God? We need a shepherd. But then we also live in a world where death is ever roaming the earth. You and I will at some point face death. It will come. We sang about it in this last hymn, crossing that river. But knowing, of course, that the Lord is the one who will deliver us. Yes, he's the shepherd who will deliver us from all the enemies of our souls. It is the Lord himself. It is God who created heaven and earth. And he tells us in his word, "I am the shepherd of my people. I will keep you. I will watch over you. I will deliver you from sin, Satan, and death. I will lead you and guide you in the way that you should go. I am the Lord," he says. It's important that we recognize that the Lord is the shepherd we need. And why so? Well, because there are many false and godless shepherds in whom people put their trust, but really they simply care for themselves. They use the sheep for their own ends. They're greedy, they're self-seeking, they do not care for the well-being of others. And God calls out these wicked shepherds in places like Ezekiel 34, where he rebukes the religious leaders of Israel for failing to guide and feed and look after his people. And having done so, he says this in verse 10 of Ezekiel 34. "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, and they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out." And he goes on to say in verse 15, "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak and the fat and the strong. I will destroy, I will feed them in justice." So the Lord is stepping up, as it were, and saying, "I will be the shepherd of my people." So the leaders of Israel, the leaders of Israel had neglected to teach God's word and feed Israel with the truth. They were greedy and corrupt. But God promises that now he will be the shepherd. And so we find the coming into the world of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here he says these great words in John chapter 10 and verse 10. He speaks of those who are but thieves. He says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Jesus is saying that he will deliver his people from sin and the power of the grave. He will give them life eternal.
And how will he do this? Well, he will deal with our sin. He will lay his life down on the cross. He will bear the sins of his people on himself at Calvary. He will shed his blood. He will die for sin, not his own. He will pay the price for sin through his death. There is amazing love. But this is not the end of his task, shepherd. He will rise again from the dead. Verse 17 of John chapter 10, he said, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again." He prophesies of his resurrection from the dead. Psalm 16 verse 10, David prophesied that the Messiah's body would not see corruption. The Apostle Peter, as you know, referred to that text on the day of Pentecost to prove that Scripture spoke of the resurrection of Christ, who is Jesus our Lord. And we have this text too in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. This wonderful benediction which says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will." The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. So do you see that Jesus, the good shepherd, not only dealt with our sin at the cross, he defeated death, and through his resurrection from the dead, defeated death for all of us as his people. So salvation from sin, Satan, and death is bound up in Jesus Christ. You and I cannot escape sin and its punishment. You are no match for Satan and his demonic forces. You have no answer to death. But Jesus has defeated all these forces of evil arrayed against us. Jesus has gained the victory over these powers of darkness. And it is in Jesus that we find safety and deliverance from sin, Satan, and death. It is in Jesus alone. And the apostles understood this as they preached the gospel. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 11 and 12, as they preached, they said, "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Salvation is found in no one else. There the Jews, with all their morality, their law keeping, couldn't save them. The law cannot save anyone. You can try and be as good as you want to be. That's not going to get you into heaven. The law will find you guilty in word, sinning in word and deed and thought. It will condemn you. Salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone, and requires a person to repent of their sin, to believe in him. You can say, "Well, what does it mean to repent?" Well, it doesn't just mean to say, "I'm sorry, Lord." It means that you come face to face with your own sin. You see it. You acknowledge it. You can see that you've sinned against God in how you've lived, in the things that you've said, in the things that you've done, and you know that you're a sinner. It means that you come to see the essential nature of your sin, that you can see that sin has twisted you. It's puffed you up with pride. It leads to jealousy. It leads to enmity. It leads to hatred of others. It leads to lustful thoughts. It leads to greed and covetousness. Sin has twisted you. You come to see this. And you acknowledge this before God. I'm a sinner. It means that you come to see your helplessness. Or I can't save myself. I'm in dire straits here. Your Lord condemns me. I have no hope outside of your grace and mercy offered to me in Christ. And it means that you look to the Savior, to Jesus Christ, whom God has sent into this world, and you say, "I believe. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe that he gave his life for a sinner like me on the cross of Calvary. I believe that he rose again from the dead for my salvation." It means you look unto Jesus and him alone, and you believe. When you do that, your sins are forgiven. and you're justified. And he has promised to be your shepherd. And you will be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is shepherd of his people. Are you one of his people? There are many people groups in the world with many, many religions. But there's not more than one way to heaven, as the world will foolishly tell you. Let's have our interfaith services. What an abomination to God. There's one way to glory, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Faith in the blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary for your sin. Faith in his resurrection from the dead. If your faith is in him, you don't have to worry about the future. You can face the future with confidence. But if it's not in him, you are in great danger. And you need to take note. But what about us as God's people as we head into 2026? Well, we need to learn to trust in the Lord at all times and in all places. And this leads to my second point, which is the Lord can be trusted for all our needs as his people. A shepherd ensures that all the needs of his sheep are met. When there is a need for water, he leads them to quiet waters. When they need to feed and rest, he takes them to green pastures. When they need to walk through dark valleys, he is leading them. When there's danger about, he defends them. And so it's no wonder that David could write here, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The word want means lack. I shall not lack anything. I have all I need. I lack nothing. So what does that mean practically? Well, it means that you will lack nothing when in financial difficulty. Though one may find oneself with little material comforts in life, a child of God can say, I shall not want. Why? Well, because you know that Jesus Christ, in him, well, are the treasures of heaven, are riches beyond measure. As Spurgeon told the story of an old woman showing her gratitude despite her poverty. All she had was a slice of bread and a cup of water. But having this in her hand, that cup of water, slice of bread, she exclaimed, what? All this? And Christ too? Brother and sister in Christ, this world is volatile. It's uncertain when it comes to material wealth. Yes, we may be working hard and God may be pleased to bless that hard work and your wealth may grow as a result. But we know that there's many unforeseen events that can suddenly rock the boat and you find that you don't have as much as you thought you had. Stock markets can collapse. Rioting can destroy businesses. Plagues can lock down economies. Homes can be plundered. Fraud and scams can rob you of your wealth. And so we could go on. You see, this world doesn't give absolute security when it comes to wealth. But if you have Jesus as your shepherd, though you have a slice of bread and a cup of water, you have true, lasting, and eternal wealth. Who would give that up? Eternal life for all the money that this world has to offer. No true believer would. Oh, we would take Christ over and above all the riches of this world. You will lack nothing, even in financial hardship. You will lack nothing, secondly, in sickness. Why? Because Jesus is loving and compassionate. He's ever near. And just as a shepherd would clean the wounds of his sheep and apply ointment and salve for antibiotic purposes, so too will Jesus attend to his people. How many prayers have been answered as we've interceded for one another, for health and strength, and God's heard many times. But someone might say, what about the poor believer that God has chosen not to heal? Sometimes there's a mystery in his providence and we don't understand why God allows particular believers to suffer physically for long periods of time, perhaps even till the day they die. But even in this, we know that Christ has promised, as he did to his servant, the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So we can trust the Lord at all times that He will be there to help, to uphold, to strengthen, to deliver us from all evil. Even in sickness, we will lack nothing. But you shall not lack in places of uncertainty in the third place. I'm sure that many of us will face perplexing decisions in the year ahead. Maybe some work or family decisions that are difficult to make. We find ourselves at such times troubled and unsure of how to go ahead. But in Jesus Christ, we know that all of God's wisdom is to be found. Does not Isaiah the prophet refer to the coming Messiah as Wonderful Counselor? Has he not told us in his word in Psalm 32 verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Are we not exhorted to ask for wisdom when we lack it? So trusting in the Lord as our shepherd will mean looking to Jesus to lead and to guide us, to give us the godly wisdom we need to move ahead. And then we can also trust in God for His restoring grace. Are you afraid of wandering from the Lord? Well, a true believer ought to be afraid of wandering from the Lord. And we should be praying, Lord, keep me near to you, protect me, deliver me from wandering. But sometimes we may, without realizing it, begin to drift from the Lord. Isaiah 53 tells us that we like sheep have gone astray. As the hymn writer says, our hearts are prone to wander. And even the best of us at times may find our hearts growing cold to the things of God. And if we're not careful, we can become entangled by certain temptations to sin, and we may find ourselves ensnared, and we may begin to lose our first love, and we begin to lose a desire for fellowship with Christ in His Word and with His people on the Lord's Day. And sadly, a Christian may at times backslide horribly for a season, just like David in the Bible who committed adultery with Bathsheba. But here is the wonderful comforting truth for a child of God. Jesus will seek out and rescue His wayward sheep. He will not lose one of them to this world and the powers of darkness. 2 Timothy 2 verse 13 tells us, if we are faithless, He remains faithful. Jesus told Peter that though Satan would sift him as wheat, He had already prayed for him that his faith would not fail. And we know that Peter did backslide and Peter did deny the Lord, but the Lord Jesus was pleased to restore him. And though a believer's faith might be weak and frail, God who has given it will keep it and preserve it. He will draw the backsliding believer back to Himself and restore him. What an encouraging promise we have in 1 Peter chapter 5. In another benediction that we sometimes pray, 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So do you see then that you can trust in the Lord as your shepherd, even when you might wander from Him, and you know it, and you may have to suffer the consequences of that through His disciplining hand upon you. But because He loves you, He will keep you, and He will restore you to Himself. You can trust the Lord. But you can also trust the Lord when death draws near. Now, we do not know the hour when we will pass from this life to the next. We do not know when the curtains of this life will close on our lives and our part to play in this present world will be done. But God knows. And He's already gone before us to remove the sting of death. Jesus, our good shepherd, as has already been said, has defeated death on our behalf. And because of this, the believer in Christ too will rise from the grave. This mortal body will be replaced by a new spiritual, glorified and immortal body that will shine like the sun and be empowered to live in God's presence for all eternity. So why should we as believers be afraid of death? Our Lord leads us day by day. He is present with us each and every hour, every millisecond of the day. He will safely lead and guide us home to glory. And he will be the one that opens the gates of heaven for our souls when they depart from our bodies. And he will then raise our bodies from the grave when he returns on the final day of judgment. So dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we as God's people can surely say as we head out into 2026, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We do not need to be afraid. We can be content despite material and physical setbacks. We can find our peace and comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he's overcome the powers of darkness on our behalf. He's paid for our sin with his blood. He's conquered death. He's ascended to the courts of heaven, where he is even now interceding for us, that our faith would not fail. And that ought to give us great comfort. Jesus is our shepherd. He gave his life for us. He shed his blood for us. That's how much he loves us. He's redeemed us at great cost. And because of that, he will never leave us and never forsake us. More than that, he has defeated all of our enemies. He's defeated sin. He's defeated Satan. He's defeated death. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. All authority belongs to him. There's no power greater than him. And so this our God, who is our good shepherd, will ensure that we are given everything we need to endure the challenges and trials of life and to enable us to worship and serve him. He will equip us with everything good for doing his will. He will guard us. He will keep us. He will protect us. He will provide for us. And he will lead us safely home. So how encouraged then can we be? So let us resolve then to follow him as our shepherd. There's many competing voices to God's word in this world. There are other voices that come from that ancient serpent, the devil. Did God really say? How many have believed the lies of Satan, the lies of worldly philosophy, the lies of false religion? How many will put their faith and hope in money and riches, in political powers, supposing that they will bring you happiness, which they never will, and in false religions, which promise so much but lead to the pit of hell? How devastating for those who follow these lies, for those who are caught up in them. They really are dangling over hell on a spider's thread. It will not hold. But what security to be found in knowing that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. To be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Can you say that? If so, then you have nothing to be afraid of. God will keep you, no matter what the future holds. You can trust in him. You can rest in him. But if you know today that you have not yet placed your trust in Jesus, then why are you waiting? Time is rushing on. What does this year hold for you? I don't know. But it may not be what you hoped for. And soon eternity will break before you. And I say again that if you die outside of Jesus Christ, there is nothing but God's wrath and eternal misery that awaits. But in Jesus Christ, there's forgiveness of sin. There's peace with God. There's rest in him. There's life in abundance. There's glory that awaits. May it be that you come to Christ and that you too are able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we do thank you that we could reflect upon this very precious text of Scripture this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. How comforting it is to know that you are the shepherd of your people, that you who loved us with an everlasting love, gave your life for us on the cross of Calvary, and have redeemed us from our sin. Indeed, that you rose from the dead, Lord Jesus, and that you have delivered us even from the grave. We need not be afraid. Thank you that you've already gone before us into this year, that you have provided for our every need, even before we get to those places of difficulty and challenges. You've given us grace for them. And we thank you that we can trust in you. And for anyone who doesn't know you, Lord, we long to see people trusting in you and knowing the joy of forgiveness of sin. We pray that you would not allow your word to return to you empty. You would send your spirit and do that mighty, powerful, convicting, converting work in lost souls' hearts even today, that there would be many who come to faith in the Lord Jesus and are able to join with fellow believers saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So we give you praise and thanks for your grace to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.